Stick it in your face, 'cause it comes from the place you're living. Stick it in your face, 'cause it comes from the place you're living.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We are with North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through local food and agriculture.
And joining us today is Kathleen Morgane from Twin Gables Bed and Breakfast in Skamakaway. Thanks for joining us, Kathleen.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here with us. One of the things that we always love to hear about is our visitors' connection to the North Coast. So how'd you wind up here?
Oh, my goodness. My husband and we were looking forward to the day when we would no longer be doing those 9-to-5 type jobs. So we did a series of road trips all throughout Washington State looking for the place. And we knew that B&B might be a part of that. That was a strong possibility. So we looked for properties that could accommodate such a thing. And we kept being drawn to the Columbia River. We found a place far up the river that was a possibility, but it gets pretty cold. So we were thinking, this is not going to be all year a thing. And then by happenstance, we took a drive along Washington State Route 4. We drove through Skamakaway, but we didn't even stop. We just sort of looked at it, as a lot of people do. They just go on their way to the coast. But I did pick up a real estate catalog while we were in Wakayakum County. And when we got back home, we looked at that thing, and I saw 1890s house, metal roof, two bathrooms, dock on creek. My husband says, dock on creek. That means, does it go to the Columbia River? Well, how big of a creek is it? So we phoned the real estate guy, and he said, oh, it's about 10 feet deep. Yes, it does go out to the Columbia River, and it is a fairly original 1890s house. You want to come and have a look? So we went to have a look, and we're old house people, and we knew that anything we would be doing would be the kind of place that we would have to put a lot of work into. And indeed, this property had some great possibilities, but it needed a lot of work before it could be habitable, really, or and a B&B type situation. So my husband has a background partly, he's done many things. He's kind of a Renaissance man. But among other things, he did shipbuilding and house moving.
Good skill. Yeah. With an old house.
So a lot of those skills went to restoring and bringing back to life this old 1890s house. And then there's more of a story to that. It's part of the National Historic District, and these two houses were next door to our place is made out of two houses, and they are T-shaped farmhouses. There were thousands of them in the Northwest 100 years ago. This is just your standard building. Well, the bases of the T's almost met. There was just 11 feet between them. So we essentially filled in the 11 feet between the houses. That became the entryway to the B&B. But in the interiors are mostly original. So there are stairs up one side of the house, and there are stairs up the other side of the house.
How cool.
The guests have their side. We have our side.
That's great.
Owner's quarters, and the guests have total privacy.
And when did you open as a bed and breakfast?
2007. So we've been doing this a while now.
So I'm curious, you talked about what your husband did before you became bed and breakfast owners. What about you? What's your background?
Well, I'm a Northwest native, born sometime in, I'm mid-century modern. Let's just so I'm very much in style right now.
I love that description. That's fabulous. Okay.
And and years ago on a backpacking trip through Europe, like a lot of people my age did back in the day, I stayed in bed and breakfast and thought, we need these. We need these in the States. We also needed good coffee and good beer. And in the years since then, we have bed and breakfast, we have good coffee, we have good beer. So now we really don't have to go to Europe anymore, do we? We can just travel here.
Save the airfare, spend it at home.
Exactly. But that's part of the that renaissance of small businesses and quality production. There's keeping your mind in your business. If it's small, you can maintain quality in a way that becomes more difficult as you expand.
And so had you been a business owner before?
No. Oh, I worked in a small business when I was in London. It was called Wilkins Natural Foods, and unfortunately, I just found out the building that it was in no longer exists. It was a government building, and they rented a space, and it has been knocked down. But this was in the last of the 70s and the early 80s, and that was where I learned quantity cooking using fresh ingredients, which you could get everywhere. Farmers markets were, they still had street markets, popular street markets. Now, they still exist, but the last time I was in the area, the markets are far smaller than there used to be, which is kind of sad.
It is.
But that tradition still exists, and at that time, we could go out and talk to the farmers, and we had organic veg delivered every week from France. They actually trucked it over from France.
Wow.
That's
who
we purchased from at that time. So I learned about running a shop and a restaurant, and I learned to cook, and I was in charge of the vegetable pies. That was my special thing that I did.
I love vegetable pies.
It's a pie thing, right?
Oh, it's a pie thing, yes. Nice. And that pie theme is, I realized the other day I've been making pies for 40 years.
You had some beautiful, beautiful pictures on your website.
Oh, thank
you. Pie.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving pies.
Gorgeous pie, and something about award-winning bread.
We did. We, as all, I can say, all the bed and breakfasts in Skamakwe, we all make our own bread, every one of us. And
love it.
1 year, I submitted a couple of loaves to the county fair, and the next day when I went to check, the Washington State Wheat Growers Award was picked to one, fixed on one of them. I was so happy.
Congratulations.
Wow. So I can say now we have a award-winning bread, although that particular loaf is, I call it the husband loaf. It's a basic white flour bread, and it's made to be soft because he grew up on Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
So it's real bread, but it's soft. But it makes great toast.
Great for sandwiches and toast, right?
Perfect. I need to get a recipe for that for you because Packy's such a white bread. My husband loves white bread. He really does. Whole wheat, just not his thing.
So. And it isn't for a lot of people, although we do whole wheat and rye blends as well.
Yeah.
So pretty much. I like to keep it a variety going so the guests don't get the same bread 2 days in a row.
How long do your guests usually stay for?
We have mostly two-nighters in the summertime, but we also do one night as well. We've had people stay as long as a month in our apartment. We have indoor B&B rooms, and we have outside the main house, we have a vacation rental apartment. It has its own kitchen. So if you want to do your own cooking, you can do that, although you have the option to take meals with us. And we do breakfast, lunch, and dinner by request. So you give us a little warning, and we can cook to suit.
That surprised me actually when I saw that on your website, because I know lots of bed and breakfasts are about just breakfast. And it sounds like you do some really interesting, lovely dinner things there.
It's fun because we have such an availability of good produce, good meats. We have local beef producers in our area. And, of course, we have fantastic farmers markets. One of my favorite farmers markets is in Wakayakan County. It's the Two Islands Market. It's on Puget Island. Mm-hmm. And they're open from the beginning of May to the end of October. So it's a long season, and there's quite a variety throughout that market season. That's fantastic. Plus, there's this Thursday market here in Astoria, and there are markets in Ilwaco. I go sometimes to Longview, especially to get fruit. There's I can't remember her name, but this lady just opened a roadside stand this past summer on the Ocean Beach Highway. She said she's going to be there next week. She has excellent stuff from Eastern Washington.
Wonderful.
So finding your ingredients is, I travel quite a bit, and I always have my eye out looking for the good stuff.
Yeah. That's amazing. And it's wonderful. I mean, have you noticed a change in availability just in the years that you've been open? Is it easier to find?
There are more farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
Two Islands started just about the time we were opening. The Saturday market in Ilwaco has expanded. There is now a separate all-food market in Long Beach that didn't exist. The Thursday market here, I think Cannon Beach had already existed, but it's growing.
Yeah.
And the more availability we have, the more people want fresh and local, which spurs more people trying to provide it. And
absolutely.
I think we're very lucky in this part of the world to have as many fresh markets and availability of local produce as we have. This is a great place to be and a great time to be here. Yeah.
So we've been talking about your bed and breakfast. What's the name of your bed and breakfast, and how can people find information about it?
Oh, that's kind of important, isn't it? Well, we are located in Skamakaway, Washington, which is a tiny, I think, as I said before, blink and you miss it. Yeah. Literally, blink and you'll miss it town. But what, to answer your question, the name of our place is Twin Gables. We have a website, twingables.net, where you can find out more information or book a stay if you choose to do that. Skamakaway is a unique community even in this area, because for clear until the 1930s, people used the waterway. Skamakaway Creek is the main street of the town. Most people had a boat. Few people had cars in that particular area because the road did not go through to the ocean or to Longview until the 1930s. So there was a water-centered community, and in 1976, I think, Skamakaway was recognized as a National Historic District because of its past as a water-centered community and because that had persisted so long into the 20th century. So there was in the 1890s was probably the heyday of Skamakaway. One side of the creek was the residential side, and the other side was primarily the business side. And there are photos that exist.
And people would take a boat back.
Every business and house had a dock in front of it. We still have the dock. Most of the homes on the residential side survived much better than the commercial side. Most of the homes are original. Most of them still have their docks.
Go for bread, honey.
Well, I'm curious. So were the houses oriented to the
water?
To the water. So the dock was like your front.
Exactly. That's like your front porch in a way.
Huh. Interesting.
So the homes all fronted on the creek. So to this day, I always tell my husband, "Oh yeah, the front door."
And that's
the creek door, right?
That is so fascinating.
So we, in essence, when we remodel, we have two front doors now. There's a front door that faces the street, and then there are the old front doors that face the creek. And the more extensive porch is still would be the show porch, and that's the one that faces the creek.
Yeah, because that's how your visitors would come to see
that's
you.
How they
that's great.
Seen
I love it.
And you can still come there via boat today. We can accommodate up to probably a 32-foot boat. We have about 10 feet of draft in front of our dock. Now, getting into Skamakaway Creek, you have to watch the tides. The best time to come is medium to higher tide, and there is a bridge. So sailboats, no can do. We had to sell a sailboat when we bought the place because of the bridge. But boaters can come in, and we have had people bring their boats in and dock.
I grew up in northern Michigan in an area where it's not uncommon to have restaurants that have docks and people boat up to go have dinner. I always thought that was so fascinating, romantic, just really intriguing. I love that's an option.
You can do that. Well, we've had hunters come in on their boats to take a break and have breakfast with us and then head back out.
is fishing a part of that community as well? I mean, do people still
fish
there?
Still is. Yeah. We still have gillnet fishers in our community that are active. As you know, there are problems with staying on the main stem of Columbia. Some of that is working its way through the courts, so we'll see. We'll see how it ends up. But for now, we can still buy from our local gillnet fishers until 2017. And after that, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But we know that there are ocean boats here in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, that will probably be our tack. But for now, we can buy as
so fresh as fresh fish is an option for you as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. That's so cool. So I'm just looking at the clock and realizing that I need to let you know that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5. And we are streaming live at coastradio.org. And you can also listen to us on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. And if you are just joining us, we're talking today on Food Talk with Kathleen Morgane of Twin Gables Bed and Breakfast, also of KMUN here. I mean, you are a well-known voice here at KMUN.
So I get to wear a different hat today.
You do. I know it's kind of fun to have you here in the guest seat for a change.
It is a different thing. So
Kathleen, I was thinking about bed and breakfast as I was thinking about doing the show, and I actually have a folder at my house in my file cabinet that says bed and breakfast ideas.
So this is one
I'm
of your
dreamer. And I know lots of people have fantasies about owning a bed and breakfast. They think, oh, that would be such a great business to have. Like, why do you suppose that is? Why are we all so enthralled with B&Bs?
I think especially, I have to say especially women are, because we nurture. And that's a very important part of the business. And a lot of the basic skills, housekeeping, cooking, are things that we traditionally learn. So we think we can do this.
And they're skills that are valued.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of your business. Is that?
Well, don't you love it when you go out to eat and somebody else cooks? Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite things. The best tasting meal is sometimes the one that I did not cook.
I can imagine, especially if that's how you make your living, that having someone else cook you breakfast must be quite a
treat.
Oh,
it's wonderful.
What do you like? So what's one of your favorite breakfast meals? What do you like to make?
One of our guest favorites is herb cream cheese eggs, and that is, it's so easy.
Oh, my God, I'm so hungry. Okay, tell me about that one.
Okay, well, if you have a kitchen garden and you have herbs, I grow rosemary just outside my front door, so I always have rosemary throughout the year. So even now I can go out and clip a little bit of that. And this is a very simple recipe, just for two people, four eggs, and then use probably 2 to 3 tablespoons of cream cheese. Put that in a small container, cover it with saran wrap, because you are going to microwave that for 20 seconds just to soften it. And you take your rosemary and chop it very, very finely, so it's just looks more like pepper, coarse ground pepper, about that size. Put that in your cream cheese before you soften it, so the fat and the cream cheese will absorb that rosemary flavor. And once it's softened, beat it into your eggs, and then do your scrambled eggs as you typically would. Doing it in butter is very nice.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Wait, so you're microwaving the cream cheese separate from the eggs?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes, totally.
So just softening the cream cheese.
It's just to soften the cream cheese, because that way you can mix it in the eggs and thoroughly distribute it through the eggs, so you have that creamy, soft texture.
So those of
texture.
Us that don't have microwaves, we could probably just leave the cream cheese set out at room temperature
for a
bit.
For a while, or you could put it in a container in a water, like a double boiler, and do it that way. Yeah, the microwave is useful for softening cream cheese, warming coffee, and
melting
it's
chocolate.
A melting chocolate and a proofing box for bread.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Because it's great. Insulated, so you can put your bread in there and have it rise on a cold day. Sometimes in the winter when the kitchen's cold, I'll put a glass of hot water in the corner of the microwave and put my bread bowl in there for the
That's
rise.
That's a great idea.
That is awesome. That's a wonderful
idea. We all
idea.
Have proofing boxes in our homes.
Well, assuming you have a microwave.
Yes.
I mainly use it for warming coffee, so I'm kind of excited about the bread baking option here, too. This is wonderful. Okay, well, that sounds like a fantastic breakfast. And simple, too.
Yes, very simple. And when you're doing all the work yourself, it's good to keep things simple so that you can time things. And something I learned years ago at the Wilkins, as I was talking about before, we made two kinds of fruit salads. So nowadays, I remember that old Wilkins fruit salad thing. Yeah. And we always start our breakfast with a fruit salad. So one, you get your healthy stuff out of the way right away. But they're so pretty. I love setting out the fruit salads and the juice, because that's a beautiful way to start your breakfast. But while you're eating that, then I can get on to cooking your main course. So there we have things, you get the timing. And we never start any of our main courses until you've actually come and you're sitting down in the dining room. So nothing is sitting under the heat lamp or anything for a long time. Everything is fresh made.
Do you just cook for your guests? I mean, do you, could someone just go there? Hunters
you can
pull
go
up
get
on
the bird eggs.
Our particular license. Well, B&Bs are different everywhere you go in the country. And a lot of that has to do with your local licensing and local health department every regulation is different. I'm sure Clatsop's different from Columbia, is different from Pacific, is different from Wakayakum. But in our particular county, well, because we took it down to the walls, I went to the health department and talked to the health department head at the time and said, this is what we want to do. What do we, how do we need to build our kitchen? And he gave us the tips, what we needed to do, and we put it together and had it inspected. And so we are licensed so that we can do bed and breakfast. We can also do catering, and we can do meals for people off of the street. So if you have a friend who's not staying with us, maybe camping at Vista Park across the way, that person can come in and have breakfast with us. Or if you want to have a dinner, you can come in and have a dinner.
That's great. Wow. I noticed on the website all the beautiful pictures of food. It got me thinking about how important is food to the bed and breakfast experience.
It's the second B, isn't it?
No, the first B. Well, bed and breakfast. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I always think about the food
I
first.
I think that's it's another draw for people to bed and breakfast. We can cook to order. If you tell us any food preferences, allergies you might have, if you're vegan, if you're gluten intolerant, if you give us advance notice, we will cook for you. And I think that is true of just about any B&B. We are here to cater to you as much as possible and spoil you and give you a nice experience. And a part of that, of course, is the food. And one of my favorite vegetarian breakfast, I was thinking of polenta. I was, we had a group of kayakers coming.
And we're all sighing here.
Everybody.
I'm going to go for breakfast after this.
Well, the wonderful thing about it was that I could give everybody a breakfast that looks similar on the plate. So the vegetarian person, the polenta is yellow, like the eggs. Mm-hmm. And instead of putting your omelet ingredients inside, you can kind of put it over the top. So you can do a savory polenta, you can do a sweet polenta, but it sort of looks like eggs on the plate when you serve it. So everyone has that same looking kind of breakfast, and there's no one man out kind of thing.
Yeah. So with your bed and breakfast, do you have I would imagine, a particular time of year that's busier than others? What brings people
in? Oh, Memorial Day, Labor Day. Yeah, here it's all about the weather. It's all about being outside. Yeah. In our particular part of the woods, we have great opportunities for kayaking. You can be an absolute beginner and kayak on Skamakaway Creek in Brooks Slough. Steamboat Slough. You can have an entire weekend of kayaking if you've never done it before on nice, safe waters outside the main channel of the Columbia. You will see the world the way Lewis and Clark may have seen it. You may not see any people at all on these quick little kayaks, and the topography has not changed that much. It's a wild experience. You'll see more wildlife than people, guaranteed.
Wow.
And kayaking is great. We also have, well, our local other experiences locally, we have our Redmond Hall, which is a restored 1892 schoolhouse that has a local historical exhibit of Skamakaway. It also has one of the area's best collections of books on local history in the Lower Columbia region. And artisan handcrafts from local artists and craftspeople. And it's all done by volunteers, as so many things in this area are. It was the people who restored Redmond Hall, and the original restoration of that in the 1970s were the same people that did the paperwork for Skamakaway to become a National Historic District. We have some very dedicated amateur historians and people who want to preserve the history of the area, and in a way that you can use it today. Redmond Hall is not just a museum. There are art exhibits there. There are concerts there. There was one of our local groups, Laser Trash, that just played at Fort George on Saturday, played the previous week at Redmond Hall.
Oh, fun.
It's a fun environment. And we have the Skamakaway Grange Hall, where we have dances and dinners and fundraisers there. And we have the county fairgrounds just right across the creek from us. And we have one of the sweetest county fairs, third week in August. Fairs the way they used to be. So if you just want to come and see kids and animals, and most of the food booths are local, the handcrafts are local, it's I love our county fair.
Oh, that's great.
how large of a community is Skamakawa?
Well, years ago, it was large. There were over 1,000 people there, at least.
That's great that
now,
that's large.
Yes. For our, there were probably about 350 full-time residents, including the little town of Skamakawa and the valleys, East Valley, West Valley, Middle Valley, up the valleys. Their population is very small now. There are times in the summer when the people who visit at Skamakawa Vista Park outnumber the year-round residents of Skamakawa. And I want to mention Skamakawa Vista Park, too, is a wonderful place because we have a sandy beach there. There are very few sandy beaches along the Columbia because of the dredge spoils. That's what makes the beach. But you can be from our place, you can be right across the street, go to the Vista Park across the highway from us and be right down on the sandy beach in about 5 minutes. And this time of year, you'll have total solitude and privacy for your beach walk. And even in high summer, the campgrounds are all up and away from the beach, and the beach is pretty much, you'll have it to yourself. And in the evening and at night, when you look across the river, the only lights you see are nav lights because there are no people across the way. It is such a, not that much different.
What an amazing experience.
It is not that much different from 100 years ago.
So what is it that you found to be the most fulfilling about running your bed and breakfast?
So many things. It is, it's wonderful living in this community. One of the first things that I know we're running out of time, but when we first moved into the first house, when we were just starting this endeavor, it was a cold, rainy night. There was a knock on the door, and one neighbor came with most of a cake. She says, "I'm sorry, there's a piece gone from this cake, but I knew you were here. We saw the lights and we just wanted to welcome you to the community, and we're so glad that you're going to restore these houses."
Oh.
And that was one of our welcomes to the community, and that person has become a dear friend like many other people in our tiny place.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of, because it's so small, we all get to know each other. Well, Cuyahoga County itself has about 4,000 people in the entire county.
Wow.
So you know so many people by face, by recognition, if not necessarily by name. And it's people are so incredibly friendly. It's a welcoming community.
It sounds like your fulfillment is as much from the community that you live
in indeed.
As it is from the business you have there.
And sharing that community was one of the best things. When we had extended stays this past summer, we watched people the first couple of days get to know the community and then participate in some of the local events, and some of them part of the community by the end of their week. And we hope that some of them will be able to return in the future.
Wow.
That's wonderful. We are completely out of time. This has been such a fascinating
That's
conversation.
So much more. I haven't even talked about pie.
No, pies. Okay.
And boy, we love to talk about pie.
But thank you so much, Kathleen. This was really fascinating.
Great to
and,
have you.
And
look
up.
Thanks to our engineer. Oh, sorry.
No.
Sorry.
You go.
You were going to say, look up something.
No, I was going to say Twin Gables Bed and Breakfast, twingables.net.
Twingables.net.
If you want more information.
Thanks,
Marianne.
And to Luke and Katie for our theme song. And thanks for joining us today.
Stickin'